Ephesians chapter 4. I thought I was finished with the thought of upward living. And as I mentioned the last time, I thought of another word the Lord put on my heart to deal with rectify, which means to pay up. And now I've got a couple more on my heart. I want to deal with one of those tonight. Upwards living. We should be living with an upward attitude. And keep our eyes toward the heaven. As I've said before, we as Christians, if you're saved, should be moving upward in our walk with the Lord and with our attitude. And we should have heaven in mind. We should have in our hearts and lives what heaven does, God's will, without hesitation, without reservation. We should keep our mind toward the Lord. That's what upward thinking or upward living is. Jesus seemed to think that. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What's important in heaven ought to be important to us. All those things being said, look in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." I suppose you caught the words. I emphasized them. "May grow up into him in all things." We are to be growing. I have looked at the word justify, which means brought up, and sanctify, which means clean up, and magnify, which means lift up, and edify, which means build up, and glorify, which means caught up, and rectify, which means pay up. I want to look at this word, modifies, best I could do under the circumstances, which means grow up. Modify means to change. And with our thought for tonight, we're talking about a change to the better. You can be modified to the negative. I don't care much about dealing with that. I don't like that in my life. But we want to be modified, changed, enhanced, improved. The word here, grow up. I think about the book of James that tells us that we are to grow up. Maybe not in those words, but it talks about us being mature in the Lord. I thought about this. We dealt with the parents this morning for the most part, and I guess we'll deal with children tonight. Not little children, but spiritual children. And I did think about babies, and I thought about this. When I think about babies, I think about pouting, pacifier, playpens, potties, pampers, poop, and puke. And I also think about bibs and bassinets and blankies and booties and buggies and burps and bottles and boogers. So I hope those things aren't true of us spiritually. I hope we are maturing in the Lord, growing up. I've said every once in a while, nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. Brother David talked about people that have recently gotten saved. Well, they are babes in Christ. And there's nothing wrong with being a baby as long as you are a baby. But after a little while, it's time to grow up. And we who are saved sometimes don't grow up near as fast as we should. We need to realize the importance of growing up, modifying our lives, letting the Lord do it. We need to realize that as babies, so many times the thought process is, how are you going to take care of me today? Or how are you going to make me happy today? I hope that's not our attitude. We need to grow up, modify. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He said, grow in grace. That grace that we enjoy, that grace that we experience, That grace that helps us when we desperately need help. That is something we are to enjoy and experience, but it's also something we are to grow in. In other words, we're to trust grace more now than we used to. And it also means that we should be able to experience more difficulties now than we used to. Because we have grown, could I use my word, modify. We have grown up some. And a good question we could ask ourselves this evening is this. Am I satisfied with my state with the Lord? Am I satisfied with where I am with Him spiritually? Am I satisfied and content with what I'm letting God do in my life? That's a good question to ask, but I have a better one. My better question than am I satisfied is this, is the Lord satisfied? Is He satisfied with me where I'm at right now? Now, He does not expect me to be further than I can be. Now, I've been saved a pretty good while, so I ought to be way on down the road. But He still knows who I am and what I am and how limited my mind is and how the world has affected me and you. And He knows how far we are to be and how far we should be. And He does not expect us to be further than we could be or should be, but He does expect us to be where we ought to be. If I'm to be 10 miles down the road spiritually and I'm only 5, the Lord's not satisfied with that. Now, He does not expect me to be 12 miles down the road, but He does expect me to be the 10 miles down the road. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm talking tonight about grow up, develop, modify, improve. And I ask you, is the Lord satisfied with where you're at? I thought about this. It says there that, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him. Into Him. And I thought about the love of God and the closeness we should have in Him. It is a relationship we have with Him. We are not boss and employee. We are not master and slave, even though those things can be applied. But we are father and child. We are related to Him. We are a part of His family. And He cares for His children enough to want them to be close to Him. I talked with one of the ladies this afternoon when she came in the door. And I said, did you have a good mommy's day? And she started shaking her head and her eyes lighted up. And I said, well, that means that nobody came or everybody came, one or the other. Don't know which makes you happier. And she surely was signifying that she's glad that people came, her family. Well, a mama or even a daddy who loves their children, that's the kind of thing they want. Whether they got to be there or not, that's not what I'm talking about. But they want a closeness. They want a communication. And according to this Bible, according to this book, we are not to be stagnant in our walk and our relationship with Him. It is to be growing. If you've been married 50 years, if you've been married 10 years, you ought to know more about your spouse. There ought to be a closeness involved with that relationship. And it ought to be the same with our Lord. We ought to be closer to Him. Did you hear the song we sang? Oh, my love for Him. I tell you what, we ought to love Him more. I remember what Jesus said to Peter. Now, there's a lot involved with what He said, but one thing He did say to Peter one time is, lovest thou me more than these? And I've said before that He may have been talking about the other disciples, and He said, do you love me more than these disciples do? Or I believe He's talking about the fishing equipment and the business that was there because they had just gone fishing. And I believe He is saying, which do you love me? Which you love most, more than me or your business, your fishing? And He's saying, you ought to love me more than anything or anybody.
And we ought to. I ask you this, not are you satisfied with how close you are to Him? That probably isn't a good type of way to gauge it or to measure, but is He satisfied with how close you are? We ought to be getting closer to Him and loving Him more and even more interested in Him than ever before. I've said it before, I've said it often. I love to read. Well, that's not exactly true. I love to learn without reading. Now, how you do that, I don't know, but I do love to learn. I enjoy learning. I have enjoyed this study through Ruth so much. I've just enjoyed it. I'll tell you, I love getting in this book and digging things out because it tells me about my Lord, and I feel like I'm closer to Him when I'm reading about Him. Is He satisfied with your closeness to Him? Is there some modification that needs to be made? Is there some changes that need to be made? Are there some improvements that need to be made? Do you need to get closer to Him? Probably so. Psalm 73:28 says, "It is good for me to draw near to God." And I say amen to that. Oh, drawing near to the Lord. I love those times when I pray, when it just seems like the Lord's right there. And it doesn't have to be a lot moving. Just a sense of His presence. And I tell Him often, oh, I just enjoy this, Lord. And I believe that's what the psalmist is saying. It is good. It is good for me to draw near to God. That word good means good, but it means more than that. The Hebrew words means happy. He says, it makes me happy to get closer to God. And I say amen to that. It also means not only good and happy, it has the idea of better. In other words, it's one of the better things in life. Could I say that even further? It's the best thing in life to get close to God. You tell me what's better than getting close to God and sensing His presence and knowing He's pleased with you and knowing He's there and knowing He loves you and there's nothing between you and your Savior. Tell me something better. If you think there's something better, you're wrong, because there isn't. It's the best thing in the world to get close to God. James said, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you. He says, if you just say, Lord, I just want to get closer to You. I just want to know more about You. I just want to spend more time with You. I just want to hear You better. I just want Your presence. I want Your touch. I want to know more about You. He says, if you'll do that, I promise you, I'll move in closer. That's exactly what God does. When we take a step away from Him, He takes a step away from us, not in relationship, but fellowship. And every step we take away, He takes a step away where the gap is further. But every step we take toward Him, He takes a step toward us. And by the way, His steps are a whole lot bigger than ours. I'm talking about, is He satisfied with my closeness with Him? Does He desire me to modify my life and get closer to Him? I'd say yes. Then I notice in this verse, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Grow into Him, grow up into Him in all things. Now, He could have said most things. He could have said much things, but He didn't. He said in everything, all things. And that made me think about this. Us trusting God with whatever's going on in our life. So I say it like this, is He satisfied with me and my closeness to Him? Does He want me closer? I think so. How about this, is He satisfied with me and my confidence in Him? He said, in all things. Oh, He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to have confidence in Him. Once again, David said it about them praying about a house. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Most of us know what it is to trudge on ahead and shove doors open, and then wish they had never been open. And I tell you one thing, this thing of faith, He said it deals with all things. Grow up in Him in everything, all things. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Sure does sound like it's important to Him that we trust Him, that we believe Him. He said, you can do whatever you want to do. You can make your list and follow your list and keep it. You can check your list twice and make sure you're doing it all. And you can do some good things, wonderful things that will please me. But without faith, you won't please me. I want you to trust me. I understand that about God. We have to trust Him for our salvation. We have to trust Him for our supply. We have to trust Him in our service. We have to trust Him through our struggles. We have to trust Him all the time. And if we don't, you know what that's saying? God, I can't trust You. You must not have told me the truth in the book, because in the book You tell me I can trust You and You'll take care of me. But when I don't trust Him, when my confidence isn't what it should be, when my faith isn't what it should be, it is saying, God, I can't trust You. And I kind of get the point, and I sort of get the idea that God doesn't like that. Because the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and many of them died because they did not trust God. My confidence, oh my goodness, my confidence needs to grow. And I'll tell you one thing, in this day, we need faith in God more than ever. I'm telling you, in our lifetime, and I ain't no youngin', we need to trust God more now and have confidence in Him now more than ever before because of what's going on in the world. But what about what's going on in your world? Your whole world may feel like it's just falling apart, blown apart. I tell you, confidence in God is what you're going to have to keep walking with Him and trusting Him. Is He satisfied with our confidence? In all things, everything. Hebrews 3:19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Just mention that. They didn't go into the promised land. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? They didn't go into the promised land. Why did I repeat that? Because it was promised. God promised it to them. He said, I will give it to you. It is yours. And by the way, all those people in that land, all those people who look like giants in your eyes, with all their armor and all their walls and all their weapons and all their knowledge about warfare, don't you worry about them. I've already taken care of them. But they didn't believe because of their unbelief. The disciples couldn't cast a demon out. They came and said, why could we not cast them out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Oh, I wonder how many times we could have said this and it'd be right. I believe so. Hinder God because of our lack of faith. I wonder what God could do and would do if some of God's people nowadays would trust Him. In the epidemic, pandemic, falling around, falling apart, going all to pieces, world we're in. I know this. Even when everything's fine, we got to trust Him. But when it seems like nothing's fine, we really got to trust Him. He has not lost control. He has not gone out of business. There's no closed sign on heaven's gate. God is very much aware and very much able. And He still wants to help us and help you in what you're going through. I'm talking tonight about upwards living. Going a little bit above average. Not to look on ourselves and look down on others and say, why don't you come on up here where I'm at? No. But that we might trust God and He might do in us what He wants to do. Modify means to grow up. Is He satisfied with my closeness to Him? Is He satisfied with my confidence in Him? And then notice what it says in that verse. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He says, I want you to grow up in the Lord. And He says, just in case you forgot it, He's the boss. He's the head. Could I remind you? He's God. So I say this, is He satisfied with my closeness to Him and my confidence in Him? And is He satisfied with my commitment to Him? Paul said, the Lord said through Paul, I am the head. I am the boss. I'm the one that's in charge. I am God. I deserve your all. I deserve everything. He gave his all for us. We ought to give our all to him. Is he satisfied with my commitment to him? Do I need to modify some things? Do I need to grow up? Do I need to get more committed? Yep. He wants us to be committed, listen to this, without reservation, without delay. Remember what I'm saying? Upwards living means we live as heaven does. Whatever's happening up there, upwards living, upwards looking, is what should be true of our life. And in heaven, God's will is done quickly, without hesitation, willingly, happily. And I'll throw this in down here. It ought to be the same way. And I promise you, if we don't, we won't be happy. And whether we're happy or not should not be the primary focus of our life. But it does kind of help when you know, if you just trust God and commit yourself to him and obey him, it'll be the happiest you can be in this world. No matter what we go through, I believe with all my heart, we'll go no further than where we're at if we don't commit ourselves to him. Yield ourselves to him. What we've been holding back, we need to let go. We need to be more sensitive to him and listen to him and obey him. And if we don't, we're not pleasing him. So it says there again, in all things. And in my point now, I'm saying we are to commit ourselves to him no matter what comes, no matter what we're facing, in all things. Listen, whether my circumstances improve or not, we're still to be committed to him. Sometimes, and I've talked with people this week that have said, I have tried to move close to God, and I've got a desire to get closer and do more to please him. And the devil has fought, and there's been such battles. And I told them, you just expect that. Because the devil doesn't want us to get closer. He doesn't want us to commit ourselves to the Lord. And he's going to fight no matter what. But sometimes we commit ourselves to the Lord, and it seems like the Lord doesn't do what we expected. So we are to trust him, commit ourselves to him no matter what, in all things, everything. If things improve or they don't, I'm still going to walk with God. My life's still going to be in his hands. In fact, even more so when things get worse. Because I'll tell you one thing, when things get worse, we sure need his help. And the more we hold on to it, the worse we're going to make it. We got to commit it to him. Oh, is he satisfied with my commitment to him? Most of the time, us who are in my age bracket, we're looking for a place to escape. Wish the Lord come by and get me out of here, and I mean that. But I got a question for us all. 70, 80, or 6, or 7. What if the Lord doesn't come back? Now, I'm expecting him. I'll be surprised if he doesn't come soon, but he may not. I'm telling you, I'm seeing things that make me think he could come at any moment, but these things may even get worse, and it may last. Listen, every one of us may die in old age, and the Lord hadn't come back. I don't expect it, but it might happen. And what if he doesn't come back? Our escape plan may not work. We, in other words, got to live our life in all things committed to him and say, Lord, it's up to you. Whatever you want out of my life, I just want to walk with you. I just want to love you. I want to trust you. I want to please you. And Lord, I want my life to grow. I want to develop. I want to get to the point, if I have not yet, to where I give it all to you. That's something we have to learn. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said it took a while. It took some lessons. It took some falling. It took some hardships. But he said, I finally learned it. We need to be committed to him. Paul said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. You had to have milk, and that's okay. But now you're old enough to take some meat, but you still can't take it because you haven't grown. Hebrew writers are like this. For when what the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as of need of milk and not of strong meat. He said, you ought to be teaching people, and you have to be taught even the kindergarten lessons of the Word of God and the truth of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He said, there's some things I wish I could tell you, but if I told you, you wouldn't get it. Because you're not far enough along. You haven't grown yet. I want to grow. I want to grow up. Listen, one thing we need to learn. We need to learn how to feed ourselves. Grow up. Now, for a while, you get a bottle. Then you get some of that baby food, and it gets stuffed in your mouth. But sooner or later, you got to get the food yourself. You got to learn how to feed yourself, and that's exactly what the Lord expects out of us. If we're to modify, if we're to grow, if we're to develop, if we're to mature, we're going to learn how to feed ourselves. Got a point. If all you get is what you get at church, you will starve to death. I don't care who you are or what you are. I'm telling you, I try to give you something when you're here. And there's preachers on the radio and on TV that can give you good food. But if that's all you get, you aren't getting enough. We'll be weak and sick and fearful and we'll fail and we'll be fleshly and worldly if we don't learn how to feed ourselves. I mean, that means we know how to get in this book and dig it out ourselves and know how to hear God and know his voice. And by the way, also know the devil's voice. We need others, there's no doubt. That's why God gives preachers and teachers and friends and people and all that in a church. There's no doubt we need each other. But listen, we also need to know how to go straight to God if we want to grow. Galatians 6:5, for every man shall bear his own burden. That word burden means that small pack that they carried on their back. And all that was in that pack was what that one person needed. And the Lord said, everybody carries their own burden. You've got your own responsibility to carry your burden. In other words, learn how to feed yourself. That's one of the things that means. We need to realize we are in a warfare. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about growing. I'm talking about getting closer. I'm talking about maturing. And anytime you're thinking about that, and surely anytime you are dedicated to that, anytime you desire that, expect a battle. It's a war. And he said, endure the battle. Endure the battle. Expect the battle. Endure the battle. Hebrews 10:32 says, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Great fight of afflictions. Now that's what Jesus did. He, looking on to the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Endure the suffering you're going through now because it'll help you to learn more about him. Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting with metal and sticks. We're fighting with spirits and demons and spiritual matters. And it's a battle. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:18, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. I've used my shotgun tonight, just unloaded both barrels at one time. But my point is this, we ought to want to grow. I really want to be where I should be. I want to say I wish I could be past that. But if I could just be where I ought to be in my 40-some years of being saved, I want to grow spiritually. I want to grow as far as my closeness to him, my confidence in him, my commitment to Him. I want Him to be pleased with me. Upwards living means we are growing. We're going upward, improving. Let's stand together. Many of you come.